Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, live around the world. I believe at the moment it is like 11 p.m. in London, 5 p.m. in Austin, 6 p.m. in New York City, and 3 p.m. in Los Angeles, and 10 a.m. in New Zealand. We have two guys coming in from the US time zones. At the moment, we're hoping for a third. We have Freighter X and Mark Passio. Now, today, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have a very interesting show. Because not only do I get along very well with these dudes who, for some reason or another, are particularly interested in dark occult mysticism, whatever that might be. And in fact, Freighter has taught me my newest kind of catch-all phrase, you know, when everybody says, you know, what are you doing or whatever, and I'm just like, oh, I'm just practicing my dark occult mysticism.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. Right away, right? Right away.
Yeah. I'm serious, though. I have been doing it. and it's quite hilarious, frankly. Like most of the occult, if you happen to be a deadly serious occult bookie or whatever, and you can't see the humor in it, mate, generally those people tend to be a little bit too serious and get angry at you for very small particular reasons that have nothing to do with your character. It's very strange. So we've got occult specialists on the show today, who are very cool dudes, as well as being very clued up. Some of the most clued up occult masters and what have you on the planet. So let me preface that by allowing them to explain who they are and what they do. Freighter, can we start with you?
Well, wow. All right, the big buildup. Well, I mean, you know, I wouldn't call myself the most knowledgeable in the world per se, but I have done quite a bit of work researching and also participating in different practical applications of occult sciences. But in all seriousness, it's not a dark occultism as you like to joke, Vinny. Obviously, the occult sciences, as I understand them, are tools which I believe awaken the DNA of human beings. You know, the mystery schools, by my reckoning, have always been about self-initiating evolution faster than the masses, which is why it's so very threatening to the masses, as far as I can understand it. You know, we're trying to reawaken our consciousness with tools in Western esoteric systems that reconnect with mystical understanding, which mysticism as a root means the union with the divine. These are heady topics for Western minds.
And Mark, allow people to kind of, you know, listen to you and preface it.
Sure. Well, I want to thank you for having me on the show, first of all, Vinny. It's always a pleasure to be here. And it's going to be difficult to follow up on what Freighter X just said, because he did an excellent job elucidating on what the occult really is. These are tools for consciousness. People often have a negative connotation of the word occult, and that is a form of mind control in and of itself when people try to obfuscate the meaning of words so that other people take a certain connotation of the word and ignore what the word really means. And I always like to start off any discussion on the occult basically defining what it is, because many people have an erroneous idea of what occultism is in general. The word occult simply means hidden. It is derived from the Latin language, the verb occultare, which means to hide, to conceal, or to keep secret. It is hidden knowledge, and that's all it is. It has no bearing on whether it is used for good purposes or evil purposes. That is entirely determined upon the consciousness of the wielder of that knowledge, the one who is going to put that knowledge into practice in the world. Dependent on their consciousness is how the information will be used for good or ill. So that's the first thing to keep in mind. The next thing to keep in mind is that what we're really trying to do as people who have discovered these occult principles, these heretofore hidden pieces of knowledge about how our universe works and how we create the reality that we must experience in this universe, we are attempting to unveil that which has been hidden. We are attempting to bring this knowledge to people who do want to have it so that they can better their current situation in life. And that's what my purpose is for explaining even the dark aspects of the occult, because those are individuals who want to hoard this knowledge and keep it for themselves so that they can use it as a power differential over other people and keep other people under their control.
So it's a power either to free people or enslave them.
Yes, it can be used for either, because just think about the situation. I get often give an example. If an extremely, extremely advanced psychologist were to want, for whatever reason, perhaps just because he didn't like another human being, a particular other human being, wanted to completely do a number on that individual psychologically and really mess with their head. And this individual, this very advanced psychologist, knew a whole lot about the human psyche, a whole lot about the mind and how it worked. What kind of job do you think he could do upon the life of another individual who knew very little about any of those internal workings of the mind? He could probably do a pretty good job upon them if he were so inclined. And that is what the dark occultists are. They are psychopathic individuals who happen to be in possession of this knowledge of self and how the human psyche and human motivations work in extreme detail, and have had this knowledge for thousands of years and are wielding it as a weapon against the general population, who is in lack in general. They are lacking this knowledge of self. And until that knowledge differential is balanced out, don't expect to see a power, the power differential balanced out either.
Well, go ahead, Fredo.
Pardon me. Well, I think that Mark makes a great point in his analogy, because, you know, basically what we come to in the natural progression, folks like myself and Mark, who overcome the hurdle, the misconceptions that are surrounding the ideas that are laid forth in the occult or the body of Hermeticum, the Hermetic wisdoms, excuse me, which pertain to a lot of the knowledge that's been very well worked out over an awesome body of work that Mark has gathered on his website, whatonearthishappening.com. Mark spent an extensive amount of time working with the natural law principles that are laid out in books like The Kabbalion and also The Divine Pymander, which basically are the teachings of Hermes or the Hermetics, which also includes the Neoplatonists. And I may seem to be digressing here, but my point is, I'm coming around to it, is that we come to this conclusion. Folks who have realized, who have waken up to the facts, know that we are being lied to, know that your consciousness has been shut down deliberately. And when you wake to that fact, the first thing you attempt to do is restructure your critical thinking. And the way that you do that is through systems that are laid out like in the Trivium and Quadrivium, which again, Mark has spent extensive amount of time researching and laying out for folks to understand, which is basically the deliberate reconstruction of critical thinking, which is needed to awaken. And once you awaken, well, the first thing you realize is, wow, I've been dumbed down. And after I've gained critical thinking, well, now I need to develop some sort of knowledge-based practice or even a spiritual understanding. And that's what leads people to the Hermeticum and the occult sciences, because they provide that in a Western context.
Is everybody just kind of sycophantic in that regard? We all want to practice the occult, but we want to practice it in our own society's type of way, you know? You want to have Western occult. Are there different forms of occult, like from the West and the East and the what have you?
Well, I think that Lon Milo Duquette, who was on my show recently, and I've had some pretty awesome individual conversations with him, he'll be coming on again next month. He puts it excellently when he talks about how, well, Eastern tradition, of course, the mysticism of the Eastern tradition could be easily comparable to the Western esoteric tradition. It is basically Western esoteric tradition's form of mysticism, which was suppressed and repressed by ecclesiastical authorities in the church. Wouldn't you agree, Mark?
I do, and to further expand on that, I would say that really they're both traditions, whether you look at it from an Eastern or a Western perspective, are trying to get us to the same oneness. They're trying to get us to the same understanding and to the same level of consciousness, which is unity consciousness, which is the understanding that we are divine sovereign beings, okay, that are not owned by anyone else, okay? There is natural law that we have to make a decision whether we want to choose to live in harmony with or to continue to ignore, and we can continue to ignore that reality and suffer the consequences of that ignorance. You could ignore reality, but you can't escape the consequences of ignoring reality.
That's what Ayn Rand said.
Right. They differ only really in their approaches, in their methodologies that are used to get people to that understanding. So it's the same basic body of knowledge, but the approach is different depending on the school or the tradition. That's what I would say regarding, you know, the different styles and takes or schools of occultism.
But the one thing, the unifying factor, the very basis belief factor that unifies them all is the belief and understanding that not only is there a higher consciousness, but it is in fact attainable, that the individual can deliberately evolve. Can deliberately achieve a higher state of consciousness.
Through an act of their personal will and their striving to understand and their seeking of truth. And that's an act of will. Someone has to want that, and then they have to take the appropriate actions, use their time appropriately, and then take the necessary actions in order to acquire that knowledge. And that's an act of willpower. And this is something that is really discussed in just about every occult school, regardless of time or place.
So are you saying that perhaps somebody could learn the principles of the occult and just by being a very strong-willed person, going about their life, meeting challenges and responding to them?
It's part of it. You know, as they say, before enlightenment, carry water, chop wood, and after enlightenment, carry water, chop wood. You know, we're going to have to do the same basic physical tasks, you know, in our daily life that require willpower and time and attention, regardless of what we know or don't know as a result of simply living in a physical reality. But the ways that we approach these tasks, you know, and how we see them, the worldview in which we cooperate with each other or do not, the worldview that we employ in the way that we see ourselves in the world and see others in the world has everything to do whether we are going to progress and evolve in consciousness. So I would say, yes, these physical things that we have to do during the course of our lives have something to do with that evolutionary progress. But it's really all about making that fundamental worldview shift toward the understanding that we're all in the same situation. We all have the same basic requirements and needs for living life and prospering in a physical reality, in a physical world. And the worldview shift that has to come with that is understanding that we are one in those regards, or whatever else our seeming differences may be as far as appearance or, you know, cultural ways of being in a particular society. We're one at the level of being, and we're one at the level of consciousness. And that's what these traditions help us to grasp at a deep fundamental level. And that is a process that is capable of being willed, as Frederick said. It is something that we could do deliberately if we have access to some basic tools, to some basic forms of knowledge. And again, this is something that has been extremely hidden throughout the ages, but it is no longer. It has been broken forth onto the world as a result of media, different forms of media, whether it be from physically printed books with the advent of the printing press, or whether it be from now digital information, technology that can carry voice on the airwaves, technology that can communicate text over and images and video over great distances. We're in a unique time in history in which these forms of media are free-flowing and ever-present, and we have to take advantage of that to use them for the right purposes, which is the awakening of consciousness and that fundamental shift in worldview. And that's what the de-occulting process of this information is all about. And that's, again, as I said, what Frater X and I are in the process of attempting to help that flow of information. And we're but only a couple of individuals who are doing that. There are thousands who are doing that throughout the world, and it's making a difference, and it's slowly helping people to come online to this knowledge and information, but it's not nearly where it needs to be. It needs to progress a whole lot more as we move forward.
Well, I find it very interesting, though, because in the process of telling people about the occult, which means hidden or secret, it then ceases to be the occult because it's no longer hidden or secret.
That's right. And that's the key. That's what needs to be done. There's reasons that it was kept secret in the past, but we're at a critical juncture in our evolutionary progress in which this information now needs to be exploded onto the world.
All right, we'll talk about more of this after the break. Ladies and gentlemen, you listen to The Vinnie Eastwood Show. Join us in the chat room. 218-339-8525 is the number to call. We'll be right back. Gentlemen, you're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humor, you'll go friggin' nuts. My very special guests, Mark Passio and Frater X, and we will soon be joined by Curtis, not Curtis 50 Cent, but Curtis Illuminated One. There's a number in there, and I'm sure there's plenty of a lot of dark occult mysticism involved with 50 Cent as well, being shot 9 times. I'm sure it's some kind of occult number in the Kabbalah, you know? I'm so full of crap. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
You were talking about something during the break, Freda, that our consciousness is being, what was it, firewalled?
Oh, well, you know, first, let's just say, let's bring it back around from what you closed with before the break, how you spoke about the word occult and what it means. It means hidden. And how once you say that, all of a sudden the whole idea is not hidden because we're talking about it, right? But that in and of itself is the word points to the reality, which is what has been hidden and why. And what I said on the break is that there's a war on consciousness, on human consciousness, and it's been going on. Our reality is like the Chinese model of the internet. Our consciousness has been firewalled by, you know, those who would control, you know, social order from time immemorial, as the case may be, or at least the last 10 to 12,000 years.
Well, that's a long, 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 long time. Which suggests that the people who have an interest in firewalling our consciousness are capable of transcending and passing down the same teachings through generations.
That's exactly right.
10,000 years. How can somebody make sure that a line? I mean, is this genetic? Have they got this sort of this bloodline that carries down this idea?
I would say that is part of it, absolutely. It is very tightly held to the chest knowledge, you could say. It's something that is seen for what it really is, a means to power. Again, if someone is so inclined to use the information that way. Again, it could be used for liberation if the consciousness of the wielder of the information is high. If the consciousness of the wielder of the information, however, is based on the desire to control other people, the desire to want to gain a leg up on someone else, so to speak, so that they're in a position to be able to manipulate them or steer them in a particular direction that they want them to go without them even ever really even becoming aware that they're being steered. The information can also be used that way. So the problem here is basically that people, A, don't really understand what the occult is. B, many of them don't believe that it exists in the sense that it is that knowledge is capable of being used in this regard. And the other aspect is that you know, people don't really want to accept something that they feel is that is uncomfortable to them. Okay, they want to say, well, if I don't believe in that, and I don't want to accept that and believe that it's true, that it can't have any impact upon me, and nothing can be further from the truth, because whether you want to even believe that these teachings are quote unquote true or not, okay, it is these are ideas that are held and acted upon by specific groups of people. So again, I make an analogy of an extreme radical religion follower. You don't need to believe in what they believe for their beliefs to have impact on your life, because they're willing to act on them. And that's what a lot of dark occultism is. It's beliefs that perhaps aren't true, but there are people in the world who have power and influence who are willing to act upon those beliefs. So if you're in a game of control with those individuals, it would behoove you to understand their psychological makeup and understand how they view the world, and understand their methodologies and their belief systems. It's like sitting down at a game of chess. You know, you're going to be in a distinct advantage if you understand the mentality and the psychology of your opponent, and perhaps what moves he's about to make. Whereas if you know absolutely nothing about the opponent and come into the game blind, you're not going to be in as a position of advantage to play that game to your peak efficiency, to your benefit. So any level of knowledge about, you know, how we're being manipulated is a good thing. People look at it as negative, you know, and again, nothing could be further from the truth. There's no such thing as negative knowledge. It's only how it is used. We're always in a better place the more knowledge that we have. So, I mean, that's something that people need to get past psychologically. Another aspect is that they've been told this is all evil and there's no good usage of it, and that's all of the devil. You know, this is the Hegelian dialectic played by religion, which is the other aspect of, in many ways, dark occultism. It's the flip side of the coin that wants to keep knowledge back from people and get them simply trapped in erroneous beliefs so that they are not empowered, and that they remain under control and do what other people tell them. So religion is there to give people a belief system, but to keep occult knowledge back from them, from telling them it's all evil, it's all bad, it's all of the devil, and no good can come of it, when in fact the exact opposite is true. It can be used for great benefit if we are at a good level, a high level of consciousness, and want to do the right thing with it by an act of our own will. But if we ignore it, if we just say, oh, no, I'm told that that's evil and I shouldn't even look into that, we're always going to be at a place where we're capable of being manipulated by others who do have that knowledge. And that's the very reason why religion wants people not looking into this. They're, I guess you could say, the flip side of the coin of the dark occultists. And the dark occultists, at the highest levels of all institutional bodies on this planet, control religion as well. You know, so they're out there putting that notion out through religion that this should never be looked into, for the very reason that they don't want anyone discovering their methods.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, that's a great That's a great point, Mark. You know, and Vinny, you mentioned earlier, well, it presupposes the existence of an ages old or millennial plan going back for thousands of years. You know, there's no need to trace back the ancient tendencies of control, though it's easy to do. You can, of course, trace it back, and you can get the notion right away when you look around. You see this idea that, well, you know, here's a possible consideration. What if there were signs long ago that pointed to a real, a tangible age of enlightenment to come in the 21st century, for example, you know, and you were in the positions of power and you realized the real, you know, reality of consciousness, and you knew that, in fact, the humanity was going to awaken whether they liked it or not. There would be those, of course, that would try to resist the awakening, that would try to go down with the status quo, but it would still awaken. Wouldn't you do everything you could to design ways of you know, causing individuals to avoid systems that would quicken that enlightenment, that would actually expedite the awakening? Of course you would. You would point to all the systems around you that might do that and say, those are evil. Don't go that way. That'll lead you to the devil. That'll take you down the darkness. When in fact, what it would have done, it actually expedited enlightenment, expedited awakening for humanity.
It seems as though when you talk about the occult to some people who have a very strong belief in perhaps religion or what have you, they jump on you like an attack dog kind of thing and have no interest in listening or understanding deeper and further. So to what end does this actually serve the occult? Does it mean that the occult remains secret because they know that they'll be persecuted if they come out with it?
Well, to speak to that directly, if I may, personally, I don't think there's anything wrong with any of these principles that are laid out in the systems that we're talking about here, being, you know, open the floodgates and let everyone rush in. Because I think that, you know, the masses trivialize a thing. And that, you know, if anything is held sacred, if anything is going to be worthy of consideration of some higher ideals, it's not going to be commodified and trivialized. It's got to have some kind of separateness. And so therefore, these systems are not for everyone. You know, just like they're not the only way for people to awaken and to people to realize higher truths and understanding. They're merely a set of tools, as we've indicated, for some, for those who would be drawn to it. You know, so I think that it's not important. It's not necessary to offer some sort of evangelical, you know, conversion to the masses here. I'm not trying to bring the whole, you know, masses under the blanket here of occultism. I guess in a way, all I'm merely doing is expressing my understanding of it, you know, and what I think that
it's kind of like Frankenstein. It's kind of like Frankenstein. You know, you're trying to create life out of something. You know, you're trying to do something that other people see as impossible. And instead of other people saying, "Man, that's a heck of a lot of awesome science that you've come up with there, man, and it actually works. You've made dead flesh come to life." Instead of that being their response, the response is torches and pitchforks because it's an abomination.
I think that when it comes to religionists, they're trapped in what is one-dimensional thinking. They can't see that something might have alternative uses other than the uses that they have seen up to this point. A lot of religionists really are onto the right point regarding the dark occult, but they can't make the shift in awareness to understand that the same knowledge that the dark occult possesses, that they're using in the ways that they're using, can be used for good. They think it's all evil, and that's the only usage that it could ever have. And that simply isn't true. That's one-dimensional thinking that is just erroneous. We have to understand this is only knowledge, and really this knowledge falls into two categories. Self-knowledge, which is knowledge of how human beings work, what we are comprised of. You can look at the structures of the brain and the body. This is basically scientific-backed knowledge. okay, about how the mind works, how the psyche works, how the human brain works, okay, all of the energy systems within the body, et cetera, nutrition, et cetera. Self-knowledge is so important for empowerment. It's like an operating manual for the body and mind. You know, without that, how are you going to understand how to use this incredible vehicle that we've been gifted with, you know, for our consciousness to have experience in? Okay. And the second part of the knowledge of the occult is universal knowledge. And this is basically knowledge of the laws of nature. And when you say natural law, people have this misconception that I'm talking about, you know, the Darwinian theory of survival of the fittest. And that is not what natural law is. Natural law is the laws of behavioral consequence. Some people have called it karmic law. Some people have called it the laws of attraction. It is the golden rule. It is that the universe is a mirror, and that which we do to others we will have to experience as well. So do unto others as you would have done unto yourself. That's all natural law basically is. And it's the laws of right and wrong. It's the laws of the consequences that must be faced for our actions, our behaviors in reality. And that's
which is
how
something that
breaks
well,
down.
On.
Yes.
Well, that natural law seems very similar to what the religions teach. So inherently, there's not too much of a difference between dark occulted mysticism and just general religion. Like the principles and how you go about your life seem to be about the same, right?
Except you don't have to accept a dogma or a doctrine in order for it to be a reality. Natural law principles are inevitable, like gravity or thermodynamics.
Right. Right. No one says that they believe in gravity. You know, to say, hey, I believe in gravity, someone would look at you like you're crazy. You know that gravity exists. You know that you're bound by it as long as you're on the earth. Okay.
See, you know what? That's great. I mean, I've got an uncle one time he told me that he doesn't believe in mayonnaise.
He doesn't believe in what?
Mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise. Doesn't believe in it. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Just doesn't believe in it.
But if again, you flung it in his face, he would still need to clean himself off.
That's right. We would. You can make that statement all you want, but nonetheless, there it is. You know, it doesn't matter whether you like it or not, whether you agree that it exists or not. It happens to exist. It does. So it's the same with natural law. The belief doesn't even enter into it. It has nothing to do with religious belief or dogma, as Frederick said. It is that which is, and it's your task to discover the reality that already is there. Man didn't put it there. And that's part of what occult teachings are. And the thing is that the dark occultists know this. They know how natural law functions. They're not ignorant of it. They're trying to willfully insulate themselves from the consequences of natural law by getting other people to do the wrongs for them that they want to do to other people in their egoic and control desire state of consciousness, their desire to control others, okay? They're not doing these violent actions. They're telling other people belief systems and getting them to go out and do the violent actions for them.
Yeah, kind of like little minions. Yes, master. I will go and I will slay people for you in thy name, master. Yeah. We'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen, with Mark Passio and Freighter X. Call in, ladies and gentlemen, 218-339-8525.
The world we knew is gone. The conditions which framed and taught us our status have gone. Our needs are now different and our aims. The conditions which framed and taught us our status have gone.
Welcome back. booking it down in the Schwarzenegger sense of the word. I was on the A Squad show. Show where you can, you know, bust out a funky chicken while you listen to it if you want. The show that's all about genocide and dark occulted mysticism. Show that's all about incandescent light bulbs and mercury. Broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand. The only New Zealand talk show that's on American Freedom Radio. Talking about all sorts of stuff. My goodness, do we have a diverse range of guests on this show. And you know why? It's because you, the listeners, are the ones who suggest them all the time. I'm just a facilitator, making sure that the listeners get to hear what they want to hear. Well, let's try. You can't please everybody. There's a lot of YouTube commenters out there who certainly don't have many manners. You guys know what I'm talking about, I'm sure. And why is that? Why is that that when you're talking about something that others don't understand, they get incredibly angry and very rude? I don't comprehend it myself. If somebody is involving something that I don't quite comprehend, I'll inquire a bit and try and figure out what's actually going on before jumping to conclusions. Is that just me who does that?
Well, my personal belief is that whenever you offer anything that challenges people's, you know, understanding or convictions, it creates a vacuum that is like, it's a responsibility. They have to, they're required now to make a commitment, to commit to either disagree and resist what you're presenting to them, or then if they accept what you say, now they're responsible to follow it through with action. And that's, I think, very difficult for some individuals, that call to action and responsibility.
Fear plays a major role in that as well. What people don't understand, they tend to fear and react to, as opposed to take a look at rationally with the higher part of the brain, the rational part of the brain. They basically go into defense mode. This is something that is unfamiliar. It is possibly dangerous. It is possibly an attacker. Let me go into defense mode, which is governed by the lower part of the brain, the R complex of the brain. And that's a fear response. You know, it's possible that it is a correct one, that, you know, something is dangerous coming at them. But, you know, when it comes to just information, that's never really a good response. You know, your response of taking a look at it from a rational point of view and trying to determine whether it's accurate and there's any veracity to it at all is the proper response, not the fear response that says, I'm not going to even look into that because it, you know, doesn't agree with me. That's probably the height of ignorance, is, you know, it dismissing something without even looking into it first.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've got a caller in here, the Greek. What do you think about that, man?
I'm sorry, guys. I'm back.
Right, Fred.
Howdy.
Greek, you're live, man.
Hey, Mr. Kiwi, Vinny, how are you?
Somewhat great. Fabulous.
Of course you are. I just wanted to make a couple of comments. The topic has got me salivating, of course. And what I tell people mostly lately is it's the subtle forces that control the more blatant ones, and that's what's gotten us in trouble, and that's what's going to get us out, if using the collective us or we. It's the subtle formative forces of the mind and nature of the elements that control the hard physical ones. And if you look at what's been propagated in what I call the Dark Ages, because it's been pretty much the Dark Ages, it's been done very subtly, and it's subtleness that's going to take us out, if it's going to be done gracefully. And then obviously, as we see, there's not a lot of grace and humor in the world these days, so this approach is not being taken. But it also requires a complete revolution and disposal of all current systems and the rebuilding of it based on who we are. An example of that would be, let's say, education. The most degrading thing you can do to a man, a woman, or a child is grade them. So any form of grading is degrading. And what it does is it paralyzes the being's ability to think, and now you're focusing on the grade instead of what's being taught So it's kind of like a backdoor in of all this misinformation. So all systems have to be disposed of, whether it's financial, education, legal, religious, and a new, the board has to be wiped clean. There's no room for reform because it's really rotten to the core. And that can only be done in a subtle, by acknowledging the subtle formative forces in nature, in the mind, and in all
aspects. Can I interject here? Speaking of subtle and formative, we also are now joined by the Illuminate Curtis, the Illuminated One, who's deep booming. He actually did the voiceovers for Sauron in Lord of the Rings. I hear. Welcome, Curtis.
Welcome, my friend. How are you, Mark? How are you, Freighter?
Hey, how are greetings, you, Vinny? Greetings, brother.
Doing very well. Good to have you.
Well, likewise.
Listen, I want to just jump in though and address this caller, and you know, this caller makes a great several great points, Vinny. Yes. Right here, you know, the last point that was made by you about considering what we do when we bring up these occult topics and the resistance we receive from others. Obviously, the scales are shifting in favor of understanding of these principles, and that's what this caller is pointing out, just from where they're at. And then the second thing, when they're talking about education, I totally agree. If we want to trace back systems of control of human nature and the nature of consciousness, you just got to look at compulsion schooling in America, the 1850s, and Horace Mann. You know, in Europe, it was even before that, right? I mean, it's so clear. And then, of course, the third point they make is the one that makes occult systems dangerous. The conclusions reached are revolution. We need to revolutionize the systems. And that's what makes this all dangerous.
I totally agree. And I think that the caller's analysis was dead on. I mean, he did just did a great job laying out exactly what's taking place, and clearly has a very good understanding. One thing I would add to it is the education system, which he spoke about, is now based upon what is called outcome-based education, which is a form of propagandizing children so that you get them to think a certain way as opposed to teaching them how to think. We need to reintroduce the trivium method, which is a process of critical thinking skills, into true education, again, outside of this institutionalized form of so-called education that we have now in public schools and elsewhere, and help people to understand really the process, the procedures for critical thinking. And that's what's going to help us to solve any problems that we face. So I definitely think the caller did a phenomenal job in summarizing it.
Am I still on, Vinny?
Yes, you are.
Oh, great. May I make another point with the education, for example? You know, when you look at all your transistors and chips, they're basically crystalline forms of elements that are used in these circuits to retain electronic memory. So teaching a child to read before they get their adult teeth in, you know, before 7 years old, is useless, because memory is actually stored in the crystallized form of your bones and the heart tissue of the body and not the brain. And this is the type of systems that need to be employed. It's not even a matter of going and adjusting any form of science. In other words, all knowledge that is propagated in the public today needs a surgical removal of all the bull. And once you remove all the bull, you'll see there's nothing there.
Another great point, caller. Another great point. I mean, Plato, Socrates, Aristotle, they resisted writing. They didn't want, you know, memory is an understanding for human knowledge is so much more powerful than writing things down and trying to focus on the letters on the page. You know, what a great point you make.
Well, it's the crystalline forms that store the memory. Like, for example, it's not in the brain, it's in your bones. That's why when you see something that brings back bad memory or something revolting, say, I feel it in my bones. And also, we have a lot of older people that have brittle bones. It's because when you mix the bad virus information, all the bull that's put out there, and you're trying to store that in your crystalline structure. You see, when the baby is being formed in the womb, it's all liquid, and the bones are crystalline forms from that liquid. So we can look at it very, very practically and so simply, because all phenomena in the universe are not really phenomena. It's a universe of scale. Everything happens on different levels of scale. So, the one, like, the great minds to pursue, like you mentioned, Plato or Socrates, which have been terribly twisted. Or other more contemporary ones, like Rudolf Steiner, for example, Victor Stahlberger, Walter Russell, you know.
Absolutely.
This is the type of practical, because it's not a universe of phenomena, it's a universe of skill. Like, when was the last time you walked outside and saw something orbiting something? It just doesn't happen in nature. So they're propagating all this falsehood, and we buy into it.
They are indeed. Well, thanks for the call, Greg, man. Good points you've raised there. And coming up after the break, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to start and we're going to have a whole hour with Mark Passio and Freda X and the Illuminated One, Curtis. So it's going to be a very interesting discussion indeed. If you'd like to call in, the number is 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. If you're listening to the live streams, come into the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, Vinnie with a Y, because it's the most important question, and click on the chat room button and come and join us in the chat here with Mater X and various other cool cats too. We'll see you just after the break, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It is now hour number two of the Vinnie Eastwood Show. The lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose that sense of humor, you'll go friggin' nuts. Especially if you're practicing dark occult and mysticism. Our very special guests are Curtis, the Illuminated One, Mark Passio from whatonearthishappening.com, and Freda X from the Middle Chamber. And, we've basically got three incredibly well-versed, good speakers, great knowledge on the world of the occult, secret knowledge, basically. And I think that, ironically enough, as secret as occult knowledge is, as I mentioned before, you essentially are turning what is occult and making it not occult anymore. Because if occult means secret, the very fact that you're talking about it and enlightening people to it voids the whole process. So, Curtis, I'd like you to introduce yourself, because we haven't done that yet, and just tell us a little bit about who you are and what it is you do.
Okay, I'm Curtis Davis. I am the owner and founder of TUN, the Occult Network, theoccultnetwork.com, as well as the host of Occult Science Radio. And basically what I do is exactly what you just said, Vinny, and what these other two great gentlemen are doing as well with their great work. We're taking the occult and taking the scariness out of it, because, you know, what I find humorous is that here we are in 2012, and when people hear that word occult, you know, they still get the shivers. And, you know, I often find myself wondering, does anybody have a dictionary in their home? You know, because no one takes the time to really look up what a word means. You know, they basically just accept what was told to them. And as I heard Mark say earlier in the interview, you know, we need, to apply the trivium method, critical thinking, to occult practices, to life, if you will, because I've also been a big fan of Jan Irving as well. But the reason why I'm so honored to be amongst, to be on this panel, is because I've followed Frater's work, I followed Mark's work, and they're basically doing exactly what I'm doing. You know, they're taking that word occult, and telling people that no, it doesn't mean, witches and goblins and this. It basically means hidden. So basically what I'm doing with the Occult Network and Occult Science Radio is educating people into the occult and, bringing hidden knowledge that you're not going to see on CNN, that you're not going to see on Fox News, and bringing that to the forefront, because when we look at mainstream media, we all know, of course, that mainstream media is not designed to tell us the truth. you know, like Frater and Mark said earlier, you know, with regard to the public school system, you're not taught to think. You're taught to be a robot. You know, you're being prepared to just be another pawn in the game, if you will. So now basically what I'm doing and what these other gentlemen are doing is teaching you how to think, you know, to unlock your mind, you know, not lock down your mind like the public school system and the media has been doing to us. So
I was just going to say there about when I went to university, it was like they weren't teaching me how to think. They were teaching me what to think.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, I have 2 years of college under my belt as well. And, you know, my 2 years of college, I mean, I can't recall too many times when I didn't fall asleep in class. You know, there was nothing there to excite me. I felt that basically I was just being prepared to be a servant to the system. And, you know, the reason why I brought, you know, the Occult Network and Occult Science Radio to the forefront is to really educate people, you know, because when you talk about school and you talk about the mainstream media, that's not education. That's indoctrination. There is a difference. You know, same thing with religion or what I call organized distorted doctrine. You know, it's designed not to help you evolve and to become all that you can be. It's basically designed to make you a slave. So that's why I created the Occult Network and Occult Science Radio, to really educate people. And, you know, as I said earlier, you know, you will see these men's work also featured on the Occult Network as well.
Well, to educate somebody, I think, actually relieves them of their fears to a degree. And you know how some people are afraid of the dark? I think they're afraid of the dark because they can't see, basically.
Absolutely.
If you're afraid of the dark occult, it's because you can't see it. You don't know what it is.
Absolutely. You know, and I was watching a video that's on the Occult Network now that Mark did. And, you know, when I heard Mark talk about his occult past, you know, I said, well, this is someone that can truly relate. Okay, because this man has actually been involved in occult practices, you know. So now, you know, I mean, and that really warmed my heart. And then when I met Frater, okay, I said, once again, here's another gentleman that's actually involved in occult practices. So these are people, you know, it makes me smile that I'm not the only one out here that's really trying to educate people and open people's minds and say, no. The occult is not what you've been taught or programmed to believe it is. The occult is about true knowledge. You know, that stuff that they're teaching you in the classroom and they're teaching you in the churches and the mosques and on TV, no, that is not true knowledge. That's basically just to keep you dumbed down so you can still be a servant to the system. So what we're doing, you know, as I previously stated, are taking people and saying, look, turn off the TV, you know, put down the Bibles and the Qurans and all of that stuff, and come over here and study the occult. You know, what does the occult mean? Once again, that which is hidden knowledge. So that's what I'm endeavoring. That's what I've been endeavoring to do for well over 20 years now.
Well, Vinny, I'd like to chime in on something that that Curtis said there regarding helping to educate people about what the true nature of occult knowledge and occult wisdom is all about. If we simply take a look at the word education, people who know my work will know I'm a big fan of breaking down words because there's so much information revealed when we understand the words that we're speaking, when we really know what they're saying to us. You know, you could look at it as an encoded message almost, just getting to the etymology of the word, where the word came from, and understanding its true meaning from that etymology. The word educate comes from the Latin educo. Okay,
exactly.
Educare. So if you look at the word ducare in Latin, it means to lead, okay, to lead, which is what a real educator is supposed to be doing. setting an example, okay? And the prefix E in Latin means out of, okay? So education actually means to lead someone out of someplace.
Yes. Okay?
That's what evolution is, to unroll, to roll out, to take something out of a covering or a wrapping or a binding. And education is the way to do that, to lead out of darkness. That's what real education does. It leads someone out of darkness and into the light.
There's an example right there, ladies and gentlemen, of occult knowledge, a practice where Mark has basically deconstructed a word we all use, but it creates an understanding. And you know, Mark, it doesn't have to be leading someone out of darkness. It could be leading someone into darkness, too.
That's true.
False education.
That's right. That's right. Exactly.
And you know, I wanted to say...
is called indoctrination, essentially, and that's what education is nowadays, is just pure indoctrination. Sorry, Fred.
Absolutely.
I wanted to thank Curtis as well for, you know, recognizing what we're doing and the work we're doing, and I wanted to say that, Curtis, I really appreciate you and your show as well. I've heard some awesome interviews with some really, really hard-hitting, learned guests who are top of their fields across the board, too, in New Thought Paradigm. And that's something I wanted to bring up. One of your shows, particularly a past show you had with Mitchell Horowitz, who wrote the book Occult America, which
yes.
is an excellent book. If anybody hasn't read that or wants to check out a quick encyclopedia of the occult practices in America. And I mean, it's across the board. Occult ideas and new thought ideas, the new thought movements of America go hand in hand. And that's an excellent, excellent show to listen to in the archives on your radio show, which can be found on Blog Talk Radio, right? And it's also, of
yes.
course, on your website, too.
Curtis, I want to say briefly also thank you for the work that you've put together. I was not actually familiar with your site until last week when I was made aware of it by Fred Rex, and it is an incredible repository of information, and I want to thank you for what you've put together. I'm going to be traveling up to that website myself and taking a look at the material that you present there from now on, so thanks for what you do.
Wow, I really appreciate that. I'm honored. I'm truly honored. You know, and, you know, when I heard you on Radia's, you know, when I heard you on her show, you know, I told her, I said, oh, you've got to put me in touch with this guy. You know, I said, because I've been following his work, and I definitely, you know, would like to have him on as a guest. You know, and, you know, like I said, you know, your work is featured on the Occult Network as well. You know, the one that you did on 9/11 and, you know, how you broke down the numbers, you know, the 777s, the 666s, and, you know, that was mind-blowing. You know, that was an excellent, excellent lecture, you know, and, you know, I'm still posting that video around on Twitter and Facebook to this day.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Oh, yes. You know, and the way you break down words and, you know, I mean, you and Jan have me totally thinking, you know, in a totally different way, just like you were breaking down the word education, you know, right. like the word religion. Religion is also used out of context. You know, I mean, the Latin, you know, the Latin meaning of it, you know, its Latin origins is religare. You know, and it means to retie.
Right.
Okay, so now when we look at quote unquote religion as it's been taught for so many years, it's not retying anything. Okay, so that's why I take the word, you know, when I talk about religion, you know, I more or less say organized distorted doctrine.
Right.
You know, because
which is a binding, which has been used as binding to tie us back. Real religion would retie us or reunite us. It would unite us together, and it would unite us to our true source, which is the higher self, the divine, however you want to look at that. But that's what it would reunite us to. Reunify is what real religion does. But false religion, which is a mechanism of control, and again, as you said, to put us into bondage and slavery, is the meaning of the word tells us just that. It means to tie back or to hold back or to thwart from forward progress.
Does this mean that the essential difference between perhaps the personal aspects of it are you have a personal relationship with your higher being or God or what have you versus you are part of one massive group that sits together in front of this one person or one God and you worship them and you obey them and you kind of relinquish your individual sovereignty in doing so?
Well, I think that's a huge point, Vinny, that you're making, and I think it relates, if we come back around, to the idea of education, bringing education and religion up on the same plateau here. We're talking about the struggle of the individual versus the collective, and that's the very basis of what I'm working on, a thesis that I'm calling the principles of autodidactism. And it's the idea that folks like us that are talking right now, and probably most of the listeners out there right now, are people who have fallen through the cracks of the education, the so-called education system, as it were. They're not buying into it. They're not being sold on it. And it's because they are individuals in a collectivist scheme or a collectivist meme, as you will. And they are struggling. That you mentioned earlier, Ayn Rand. And that's the same principle as she rehashed over and over again in her works, was the struggle between the collectivist and the individualist thinking. And that's at the root, I believe, of occult knowledge. Is that's why it's so revolutionary. It's why it's so dangerous to the status quo, because it empowers the individual with self-actualization. It offers a means, as we pointed out earlier, of self-evolving, of literally upgrading your consciousness in a manner that it steps outside of the norm. It steps outside of the ordered, you know, the status quo.
Well, I think if you look at anything that in our society that's designed to elevate you is demonized. Okay, you know, like you just said, you know, Frater, that, you know, when you look at the occult, see, those who want to keep control of the masses, okay, are occult practitioners themselves. Okay, but now in order for them to maintain their control, if you will, they have to demonize to the masses what they themselves are practicing. So now while they are engaging in quote-unquote occult practices, they're feeding the masses Jesus and Muhammad. Because they know good and well that, you know, the Jesus and Muhammad stuff, there's no power there. Okay, because when you what you're being taught in a church, what you're being taught in a mosque, is to let some being out, is some invisible being outside of you take care of all your problems and stay away from, you know, let the good guy in the sky, you know, take care of all your problems and stay away from that bad guy in the ground. Okay,
That's kind of abdicating your personal responsibility to look into the things that affect your own life.
Absolutely. Whereas, as Frater just said, when you talk at, you know, the religion, or as I call it, organized distorted doctrine, religion versus the occult, what does the occult teach you? The occult teaches you to evolve. To that you are a microcosm of the macrocosm, that you are responsible for your life, that you are responsible for your reality. You're not being taught to just passively go through life and, you know, just offer a prayer to some unseen being who's going to take care of it. Or you're not being taught to pray to the east five times a day, you know, to some unseen being who, if you're a good little boy or a good little girl, you know, when you kick the bucket, you'll get to go to paradise, you know, or you'll get to go to hell if you're a bad girl or boy.
Oh my goodness. It's a lot of faith that you have to put into religions these days. And you got to wonder whether or not you're abdicating your own faith in yourself and how powerful you truly are. And what a kind of a creator you might become. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show, and we'll be right back after the break. Welcome
back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Sexiest 2 hours of talk radio. Talking about the century of scumbaggery on American Freedom Radio. On AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Hey, and by the way, if you do listen to the live stream, and you've got time before the Vinnie Eastwood Show starts, try tuning in just to the American Freedom Radio stream. And if you've got time after the show finishes as well, keep tuning in, because there'll be a show before and a show after this show that's as good or better. I'm not kidding. This is an amazing network. It's very strange. Some radio networks, you got like one or two good shows, and the rest of them are like, eh, you can take it or leave them. American Freedom Radio is just like, whoa. Every single one of them is pretty fracking amazing in their own right, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and we've got three fairly fracking amazing individuals joining us here today for a discussion about the occult. Now, what I found interesting is over the break, and I think during most of the show so far, is you guys being the occult so-called experts, as I'd call you, always do the same thing. You always go back to something somebody else says. You don't keep going forward. You go back to address things that have already been glossed over to expand on them. I thought that was very interesting.
I think things could always use enunciation and clarification. And, you know, in honesty, we're actually doing something that false teachers have been doing since time immemorial, repeating That's different correct. Things. Repetition does work, whether it is to get something that is false into someone's mind or to get something that is true into someone's mind, to plant it as a seed, to influence that seed to grow into something larger. So, you'll find repetition in a lot of my work. I repeat a lot of the same things over again many times, and that's how they stick. You keep throwing it up against that wall until it does stick. You know, that's what it's really all about. It is about saying the same things many times, because people need to hear it. They need it to be reinforced in their mind. And this is what will encourage them to go and look into it for themselves, especially if they hear it many times from many different people. You know, that helps to build a general consensus, so that people say, well, maybe there is something to this, and now I shouldn't just accept it on my own. Don't do that, but go and look into it for yourself and try to find out whether what we're telling you is the case is true. And then, you know, build that knowledge base for yourself. Don't just accept it from someone else. So, I was talking about indoctrination over the break, you know, and you break that word down in its etymological roots, and it means to steer or direct by means of three methods. That's what it means. And we looked at what is the indoctrination system of public schooling, of outcome-based education. It's separation, confinement, and repetition. It's taking someone away from the basic population, okay, confining them in a sequestered area for a specified period of time and repeating the same information over and over to them until it takes root in their minds. So that is the definition of indoctrination. And if you look at a police academy or a military boot camp, it's the same thing. Separation, confinement, and repetition. That is a basic method of mind control. And, you know, repetition is one of the main methods of mind control, and it could be used for mind influence, not to control the mind, but to influence someone or try to gently nudge them in the right direction. So I make no apologies and have always told people that I'm going to repeat the same things because that I'm attempting to influence their mind toward the truth and toward the light. So repetition is a method that I deliberately employ.
Mark, you're making great points, Mark. You know, the whole principle of this, this idea of it, separation, and it, well, the idea of indoctrination in general, when you're looking at education, it's well put by John Taylor Gatto in The Underground History of American Education, where he traces the compulsion schooling system in America and shows its rise with the industrialization of the population. And what are the three basic tenets that we are taught in public schooling in America? The three basic tenets are: you show up on time, don't be late, don't be tardy. That's the word we use, tardy, when you're late. You don't want that to happen. You got to show up on time. The second rule is obey your keeper, obey your teacher, your supervisor, you know? And then the third rule is you do some rote, meaningless activity until the bell rings, and then you walk away like it never happened. And what Mark said about repetition, it's not just the repetition of the specific material. It's the repetition of the pattern of a way of looking at the universe. It's the imprintation on an individual consciousness in a collective manner that creates a collective consciousness, and where we're only viewing the reality around us in the preconceived set meme and the set paradigm that's being provided by the educators.
So does that mean that there's no such thing as a collective consciousness if people aren't actually conscious? If they don't have any idea what the heck is going on, it kind of voids their place in the collective consciousness because they're simply not aware.
Those people who are aware
contribute far more and far more greatly into the collective consciousness. Wouldn't you
think
so?
I think that's why it's been generally termed the collective unconscious. You know, it's that the subconscious and unconscious desires that are really guiding people, and they haven't brought that information to conscious awareness and conscious recollection, which is what they need to do through work upon the self.
Great point, Mark. Great point. And that's where, you know, principles that are laid out, practices and systems like the mystery traditions or any kind of system where what you're doing, like with magical or occult systems, is you're creating an abstraction of an inner thing, a subjective reality. You objectify it, putting it outside yourself in order to work on yourself, outside of yourself with the system. And that's something that is capable of being accomplished in these principles and these systems that are laid out. And that's why they are so beneficial to, you know, individual self-actualization, integration, and growth and progress.
It's done a lot of symbology. You know, people get hung up on the symbol itself, but really it's a representation of something within us that, as Frey Rex said, we're objectifying and we're taking a component of ourselves and, you know, giving it a form, you know, a construct in the mind, and then working upon it through that symbolism. That's what symbolism and, you know, artistry and creative work in occultism is all for, whether you see it in the form of symbols or medallions or, you know, shapes or wood cuttings, etc. All of this is, again, as Frater said, it's the objectification or externalization of internal work that the occult practitioner is actually performing upon themselves.
That's absolutely true, because, you know, as you guys just said, when you're talking about symbols, now in occult circles, we call those sigils, you know, and we see those every day. And the collective unconscious doesn't realize what they're looking at. You know, when they look at the CBS symbol or the Nike symbol, okay, those are all sigils. Those are all symbols that are designed to make an impression upon the mind to get you to do a certain thing. And that's why, you know, as Frater and Mark stated earlier, repetition is very, very important. Because in the words of Yoda, and I quote, "You must unlearn all that you've learned." You know, we're dealing with century upon century of miseducation. So now, in order to re-educate, you know, we're dealing with a society that it has been indoctrinated. So now, in order for people like us to educate them, you know, and to bring them out of this indoctrination, just like that indoctrination was put into their minds repetitively. Now it's going to take, you know, people like us to repetitively educate them. Okay, now, so yes, that's very important.
The dark occultists want to educate people in the precise opposite of what they believe. You know, they believe that an individual is really powerful and strong and determines their own destiny via their actions and what have you. Well, they want everybody else to just feel all collectivist, like an individual doesn't matter and it's better to sacrifice one for the sake of all or whatever. Whereas that's not the case at all. And if anything, it just weakens people thinking that way. And so it allows the dark occultists to maintain control over them, right?
Exactly. Because
those people don't recognize
Absolutely.
How powerful they are.
Absolutely.
The interesting thing is, if you were to use those very mechanisms of indoctrination, for instance, what if the public education system taught people about individualism and how much power they had and taught them all of these principles?
Oh, you would see a world that's totally unlike what we're looking at now. Because first of all, if you empower someone, you can't control them. Okay, that's number one. So, you know, if you want to control people, you definitely cannot empower them. Okay, so now when the catchphrase or the catchword, I should say, that's been bandied about for many years now is the Illuminati. Okay, you know, to use the Illuminati as an example, the illuminated ones, that so-called powerful 1% at the top of the pyramid that's controlling the masses. Well, in order for them to maintain their control and maintain their institutions and maintain their tremendous fortunes, they can't teach the masses what they know. Okay, because if they start teaching the masses what they know, then this, their house is going to come tumbling down like a house of cards. Okay, so now in order for them to maintain their control, sure, we have to believe in the truth. Okay, I'm going to hold on to the real sacred knowledge, but I'm going to teach all the rest of you guys a bunch of nonsense, you know, that's going to lock down your consciousness so that way I can continue to control you. So basically, that's all about.
It's like a bunch of bank robbers, you know, go in and rob a bank, and the first guy into the vault takes all the best goodies for himself.
Absolutely. Exactly. You know, it's what you said is exactly right. I mean, they do know how these things really work. It isn't that they're, you know, that they're not aware of natural law and how it functions. They understand that. As I've said, they're not solipsists, but they want to propagate solipsism, a dangerous ideology that I've talked about a lot on my show. This notion that there's, you know, solipsism is the notion that there's no actual truth or objective reality. There's no way that things actually are or laws that govern nature. You know, everything is random. It's all up to my perceptions of how I perceive it, whether it's real or not, or I accept it or not. Dark occultists do not think that way. They don't propagate solipsism among themselves. As a matter of fact, this is considered one of their most loathsome things that anyone could ever think like that. They consider it a sin in their, quote, religion, if you want to look at it like a religion, in their ideology. But they'll propagate solipsism to other people to try to get them to believe that perception is reality and that nothing is real except the perceptions in someone's own mind. So many people think that. I mean, you ask people if there's objective truth that is independent of their perceptions. Many people will say, no, truth is just how people perceive that it is, and it's different for everyone, you know. And a dark occultist would in their own circles absolutely laugh at that notion, but at the same time, in the public arena, they'll try to propagate that as widely as possible, that perception is reality. And, you know, that's an example that they know the truth, except they don't want other people to know it. They want to keep it to themselves because they know that access to truth is empowering. And again, in their mindset, in their dark form of consciousness, which is all about the desire to control other people, that knowledge could easily be used as a weapon as long as other people are still lacking it. Once there's an an equilibrium brought to bear as far as the knowledge base is concerned. There's a leveling of the playing field. And if people have this knowledge, they can't be manipulated in the ways that they're being manipulated right now and have been for centuries.
Yes, indeed.
We talk about the opposites and the black and the white, you know, the Masonic tiles, obviously, is talking about the dark and the light and how they can sort of control both. Now, I think it's like the opposites is what dark occult practices are really all about. And as you said, they'll come out and they'll propagate in public things that in private they don't believe. They do the direct opposite. And I remember hearing a story about somebody who was living in a household full of Satanists, and one of them was like a lawyer and one of them was like a doctor. And during the day, they're all, you know, dressed up nicely and they're doing their work and everything like that. But during the night, everything changed and it became the direct opposite. Is that how people are supposed to approach this type of topic, is to not kind of do it in a way that makes other people afraid, but instead to try and understand it a little bit at a time so that it's not too overwhelming? Because there's a lot to know. There's a lot to know. And you can't know it all at once. And if you tried, you might freak out just a little bit. Don't you think, guys? Yeah, I think you might lose a little. Takes a while sometimes. We'll be right back. 218-339-8525. Your last chance to call in and the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Welcome back. I wanna jam it with you. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide. My very special guests, Curtis Davis, the Illuminated One, Mark Passio, and Freda X. We were talking about a whole bunch of stuff. And as I mentioned in the previous segment with these occultist dudes, they always want to go back to points previously raised in order to expand on them a little bit. So, Freda, what was the one you wanted to expand on?
Oh, well, I think that Mark should go first. He has something. He had some. He called dibs. I'll defer to Mark, and then I'll speak after.
Well, thanks, Freda.
Right, we've got a caller as well to come in after that.
Great. I just wanted to briefly apologize for coming in over the ad there. I was under the impression we were muted at the network end, so sorry about that. But what I was going to say to your question was that, yes, it is very important for us to help to bring this information forward in kind of like a stepwise progression in a way that starts with the basic building blocks that are somewhat easy for people to take in and aren't as threatening. I tried to do this in my presentation and on my radio show. This is kind of really something that's not really quite in my nature to do. I'm more of a just blurt it out there and explode it right out there onto people, but it is very important to keep in mind not everyone is at the same level of psychological strength or maturity, emotional maturity either. And you really do have to be careful with some people about how you explain this to people. Now, that doesn't mean compromise. That doesn't mean lie about it or, you know, try to insulate people from the truth or, you know, keep things back from them just because you think they can't handle it. But there's a way of doing it in a stepwise progression that starts with very basic, simple truths and then builds upon that so that you have a firm foundation to work with to build more complex and perhaps darker material that would be more difficult to accept later on. So you have to start with the simplistic and the easy to chew upon as a foundational framework, and then you build from there.
Yeah, and if they're all reactionary and whatever, so information can be like a hand grenade, so when you throw it in there, it's best to just walk away.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, Fredo, what did you want to say, or should we go to our caller?
Well, let's take the caller, and then I'll just briefly say something as well.
Righto. We have an anonymous caller. You are on the air. What's up?
Thank Thank you for taking my call, Vinny. This is Bob from Cincinnati. I'm a big fan.
Ladies and gentlemen,
thank you very much for calling in, man.
Bob has his own show on the Antimatter Zone Network. He has a show called Occult Empire. I'm actually going to be making an appearance on it next week. So Bob's a frequent caller into my show, What on Earth is Happening. Bob, it's great to hear your voice.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Love your work, Bob.
Thank you, Frater, and I return that great compliment. And Curtis, believe it or not, I've been a follower of your show for over a year. I know that your Occult Science Radio is putting out cutting edge information, especially in June of last year. You had Will Hawkins on, and you spoke of the negative electromagnetic waves that are affecting our bodies, the subtle bodies of the Eastern Vedic system, the astral body. Will Hawkins spoke of the causal body is being affected by these negative electromagnetic waves, and that by using such great work as Wilhelm Reich's Orgone Energy, we're able to combat this. So I'm thankful for that. Gentlemen, your earlier caller, and I know I'm falling into Vinny's trap of occultists pointing back to the previous topic. But
I think this is a great realization, because kind of like occult symbolism, once you're aware of it, you start seeing it everywhere.
It's good to comment to expand on what people brought up. He spoke of the universe is self-similar across scales. I know Passio has talked of this. The holographic nature of the universe is central to occultism. The work of Rudolf Steiner and these Rosicrucians, I think it's a great topic. And Mark and I will be expanding on this Monday, April 23rd, on the Antimatter Broadcasting channel on Blog Talk. If you guys have a moment to check it out, I'd love you to be there. But thank you for your voices. These are topics that need to be spoken of. Good evening, gentlemen.
All right. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
Also, Bob, I'd like to offer you an open invitation if you want to. Come on the Vinny Eastwood Show for a couple of hours to have a chat about who you are and what you do.
I would love to do that, Vinny. Thank you so much. I will contact you then, sir.
Oh, yeah, contact me as well, Bob, because I'm interested in your work as well.
Guys are too kind. Thanks again. Good night, gentlemen.
Good night, my friend.
Thanks, Bob.
Vinny, I just want to take this moment and say thank you because I didn't get the chance to say that when we started. I came out of the box with both guns blazing, and I just want to say thank you so much for having me on tonight. I've enjoyed myself immensely, and I want to thank you for also having me on with my colleagues here, because it's been an honor and a pleasure, and I would love to work with all of you again in the future. I just wanted to say briefly that the whole idea of the repetitiveness is in itself a technique of strengthening mental skill, and that's the bottom line. But the one point that you brought up, the question you made at the end of the last segment, Vinny, was what it always inspires in me is the realization of the existential angst of it all. The one order that I don't belong to uses the Latin motto of memento mori, and it is the idea that remember, one day you will die, that we all have only a certain amount of time. But at the same time, the cosmic absurd joke of it all, and I know you can appreciate this, Vinny, is that we can learn everything there is to know in the universe if we know the right questions to ask. That's my bottom line about the occult. It's all about the like with the Grail Quest, it's all about the questions that we ask. We already possess all the answers. It's just a matter of asking the right questions.
Yeah, you know, as Mark pointed out earlier, the difference between the educational system that we grew up in, you know, as opposed to the ancient mystery schools, if you will, the educational system or the indoctrinational system that we all grew up in is designed to put in you. You know, as opposed to the ancient mystery schools, it was designed to draw out. Okay, so now, you know, what I see in front of me now, you know, is that we're looking at a society now, guys, you know, that is so, unfortunately, in many instances, so dumbed down that you could put the truth right in front of their faces and they'll still reject it. And when I say that, it brings to mind, I just happened to be in Times Square here in New York City right about the time when, oh, and I know we're all going to get a good laugh off of this, when Barack Obama, and he actually got on TV and said this with a straight face too, you know, when he said, oh yeah, guys, hey, everybody, we finally found Osama bin Laden and we killed him. Hip, hip, hooray. And I was standing in Times Square, and, you know, Times Square stays populated. You know, that's like the main hub, the main hangout, or at least one of the main hubs and hangouts in New York City. And they made this announcement on many of the big screens down there. And when he said this, a roar went up. People were literally celebrating and dancing in the streets, pretty much like you see in those old photographs and old film clips of World War II. And I'm standing there and I'm looking at this like, you people actually believe this crap? You actually believe that they found, finally found Osama bin Laden after so many years and killed him? And you guys believe this? And it was at that moment where I realized, I said to myself, this is what makes what I'm doing, what Mark's doing, what Vinny's doing, what Freighter's doing so important, because you have a lot of people out there that CNN and Fox News and Organized Distorted Doctrine has really done a job on them. You know, so I mean, this knowledge, I find a lot more people are being open to this knowledge, but there's still a lot of people out there that when they hear the word occult, you know, they think that, you know, we're devil worshipers, and they still believe that, you know, if it's said on CNN and if it's said on Fox News, that it must be accurate. So, yeah, you know, a lot of people, we've reached a lot of people, but we still have our work cut out for us.
We do indeed, and I think that's a very nice place to leave it off. Guys, thank you very much for coming on, and if you'd plug your websites, go right ahead. Curtis, you go first.
All right, come to TUN, theoccultnetwork.com, and there you will see a plethora of information of what much of what we discussed this evening. You'll see Mark's work on there. Definitely check out his information on there. Very informative. And, you know, and you could also check me out on Blog Talk Radio, Occult Science Radio. But check out theoccultnetwork.com.
And Freda?
Yeah, that'd be the middlechamberfx.com, and that's on American Freedom Radio, Saturday nights, 8 p.m. Central. This week we have Type 1 Radio Lounge hosts on, so everybody check that out. And Vinny, you are welcome over there at the Type 1 Radio Lounge. They would love to talk to you over there.
Oh, so, put them in touch with me, man.
Absolutely. Mark?
Yes, my website is whatonearthishappening.com. I do a radio show every Sunday from 5 to 7 p.m. East Coast time on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, and that's oraclebroadcasting.com, and you can also listen in live on the radio show of my website at whatonearthishappening.com.
Cool. Thanks, gentlemen, for coming on and sharing some nice knowledge and having a good fun time and what have you. I think we should do this again sometime.
Absolutely. Ben, thanks so much.
That would be
Consider
great.
Consider it done. Oh, like as Freighter said earlier, I look forward to us working together all one day. That would be powerful.
All right. Thanks, cheers, gentlemen. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in. And if you want to hear more of this and all of that kind of stuff, please support us by subscribing for $5 a month, donating, or even buying some of the products off the website. All right? Just keeps this all little choo-choo train a-trugging. We'll see you again sometime.
Have a good one.